Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged. I'm your host, Addison Davis, here at AASA Conference. We have a special guest today from Coffee County School District in Georgia. We have Dr. Morris Lease. Doc, thank you for being here today. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'm just honored to be here with you. And just left a session about school safety and had a chance to learn some things. And then you offered this podcast through your website and email. And so I'm just glad to be here.
Awesome. Yes, so sir. I want to dive right into this. Okay, you've been a superintendent for 16 years.
Yes, sir.
How does that happen?
Well, I have been blessed. I've been blessed to work with some really good people, great board members. First superintendent's job, Wayne County, Georgia. I didn't know anybody there. I went and interviewed and just connected with the board. There was some fellows, they were about the same age as me and similar backgrounds as far as education and college and such as that. So just kind of connected with the board, and that was very important in that first superintendency. And had a good two-month run there.
Okay.
And my hometown that I'd never worked in, they called. Yeah, I'd gone to the board meeting on a Thursday night in Wayne County, Georgia, and I get home, and my wife says, two people have called. The superintendent in Coffee County is resigned and going to retire.
Uh-oh.
And so evidently there's some people over there that want you to come after the job. So I did, and it's been great. I've been blessed. I spent 15 years in Ben Hill County, started out teaching and coaching and learning the craft a little bit, if you will. And then after 15 years, things were going great at Fitzgerald High School. We'd raise the graduation rate. We'd raise student achievement. I thought I'll step out, pursue a superintendent's job. I did. I got it. And had no idea that that would lead me back home to my home district where I graduated. And I've been there for 14 years.
14 years. I mean,
yes, sir.
You know, getting into it, I mean, your path, teacher, coach,
yes, sir.
Athletic director,
yes, sir.
Principal, highly efficient principal, transition, become superintendent. You're only there for 26 months. You get a call and say, you know what? Let's come home.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about coming home where the hometown hero gets a chance to do cool things and be able to give back. I mean,
I've been blessed and good board members, reasonable people who just want to do good work for kids. And that's been really the secret. It starts with the board. And I think the superintendent board relationship is so important. And that doesn't mean it's always easy.
Yeah.
It's not always easy.
Those are watching, understand, you know, it's not easy.
But it's, you know, it's rewarding.
Yeah. And Doc, in this, I mean, we had a pre-conversation, you know, and yeah. I've led in big urban school districts, you know, our roles are, and we talked about being like an NFL running back 2.5, 3 years, right? And yeah. and then you're out, you know. What's the secret recipe for staying in the saddle? I mean, especially, I mean, 5, 10, 15 years, 16 years that you are now. I mean, what's the recipe for those who are watching? What advice could you give them? Because this job is not easy, Doc, at all.
Yes, sir. Well, I've tried to be very simple with my board members, communicate regularly with them. I have an open door policy with board members. They can call me. We text, you know, we communicate. Sure. And I try to do a Friday note, send them the Friday note and keep them updated. And that's not every Friday, but I try to compile something that lets them know what's going on in the district. Also, I tell you one of the secrets a board member gave me from a neighboring county when I first became a superintendent in Wayne County, a fellow from Irwin County's board, which was neighboring Fitzgerald,
he said,
Doc, I'll tell you, something that'll help you. If you have something that happens that board members need to know about, just do a FYI email. Just put FYI and then just shoot them up a description of what happened and that the administration has it under control and we're acting accordingly.
Sure.
But let them know if there's little issues that come up that they need to know about. So I've always tried to do that.
Makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, that's just hire good principals, hire good people. I think try to always tell the truth.
Sure.
Don't ever violate that trust with board members. And I think if you build that trust with them, they know you're telling the truth and they know you're trying to keep them informed and you're doing your best to have good people running the schools and running the school system, then it's really hard for them to get too critical of what you're doing.
Right. You know? Yep. So, I mean, listen, recipe for success right there.
And we've been blessed to have a thriving community and our we've been able to take a roll back on the millage rate for pretty much every year that it's been an option.
Yeah, I saw it multiple years millage rate. And tell me from that millage, you know, congrats to you. It's not easy going to your community and say, you know what, we need additional funding to do some cool things for kids.
Yeah.
And I've seen you've had multiple runs, multiple wins in that community. And so how do you use that money? I mean, the biggest thing for a community to buy into it is to ensure that districts, and for it to be renewed, is that they have comfort and confidence that you're using that money efficiently.
Yes,
what have you been using that money on?
Well, you know, in Georgia, we have our QBE, Quality Basic Education, state funds.
Sure.
And we have our federal funds. So, of course, our state funds we can use for maintenance operation. And that's, you know, supplemented with our local taxes. And so we've been able to roll back the local taxes for a good number of years now. And so what helps us is an ESPLOS, education sales tax, a 1 cent sales tax. And we've been able to build some pretty exciting facilities. But first off, we took care of our schools that were most in need. Broxton, they needed a new elementary school there, so we built a new elementary school.
Awesome.
Nichols, they needed a new elementary school, so we built a new elementary school. We renovated some existing schools that didn't need to be replaced but need to be updated. So I think our taxpayers saw that we're actually putting the money into school buildings first.
Yeah.
But then we did something for our ag community. We're a heavy ag community.
Hey.
So we built a real nice ag barn where our 4-H and our FFA can house their livestock. And the kids who are in the middle school who want to get involved with showing livestock, they can house their livestock there. That was really what we wanted.
Sure.
A place where kids who don't necessarily live on a farm can still have a show pig or a goat or a hog or whatever, you know. And so we built the ag facility.
Wow.
We also built a performing arts center to give our band and our
a common
show
community.
Choir.
Wow.
Yes, and in the projects we've done, we've tried to target the groups that need the upgrades. Our band didn't have a place to call home to perform. Our choir didn't have a place to call home. So we wanted a nice facility. So we built a 900-seat performing arts center with 300 seats in the balcony and 600 seats on the floor. And so it's a very, very nice facility. But our community appreciated that, I think, because they can see we're doing something.
That's right. Their money's being put into, you know, co-curricular, extracurricular activities that kids fall in love with and want to do, engage every single day. And then they can go see their kids involved. Their kids show their passions and love. That's awesome. And that's the only way. Those are things you talk about, whether it be 4-H, whatever it be, performing visual arts. Those are things that communities want to see their children engage in every day.
And then our last big project, I have to mention it because it was kind of fun. We did a ROTC, Naval NJROTC facility with the air gun range, has 12 state-of-the-art lanes for the air gun competition team. And then they've got
an obstacle course,
classrooms. and we host some really big ROTC competitions where they march. We may have 20 teams come from Florida, Alabama.
That's cool.
Teams come from other states, but they didn't have a facility. So we built an indoor facility with an 80-yard field in which they can host big competitions, marching competitions, and we can host them right there indoors. So we have a big indoor facility now too that's been a really nice addition. At one point earlier this year, we had the football team was practicing in there. The baseball team was doing their early workouts in there. The wrestling team had, after we had a hurricane in September, their room got messed up. And so they were practicing in there. And you had the ROTC in there practicing. And so we had four groups using that indoor facility at one time.
That's awesome.
And I was told by the wrestling coach, it was beautiful. It was flawless. They weren't interrupting each other. And it's worked out great.
That's cool. You know, you talk about a community of trust and a community of care and creating that opportunity for them to do that. Yes, that's really cool. Now, I'll go back to, some of the greatest things that you're doing as well is that we understand that safety is our greatest priority.
Yes, sir.
And for you, you've doubled down on safety in your corporation, in your school district. Tell me, what's that look like in Coffey?
Well, we hired our own police chief in Coffey County to develop our own police department. So with our 12 schools, we have our own police department, if you will. And so we started with hiring a career lawman back in 2017. And he had a four-year degree, criminal justice, was a career law guy. He's been doing it for over 25 years at that time. And so he had served as a interim police chief in a community. And so he had a lot of experience. He was working with the sheriff's department. So we were able to get him. And he developed our SOPs for the police department. We got the number through the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah.
We recognized.
Yeah, so you get identified a number.
So we have our own police department. And that's been a game changer.
Yeah.
We started out using part-time police officers, off-duty sheriff deputies.
Yeah. We've all been there.
State patrol officers. But we've migrated to 14 full-time officers who work for us, who work under our chief, and it's worked out great. We have a lot of communication constantly between our administration, our police officers, our police chief, and so I think it's really helping us ensure that our schools are safe. Now, with that, we've invested heavily in a good bit of equipment, and
it's capital cost
systems that run behind the scenes. I saw the gaggle table in the
they're home. A great solution.
You know, we use that to help us.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, student accounts. Yeah.
Yes, and then we use the Evolve weapon detection system.
Great.
We've got those in all 12 schools, two units in each school. And so
smart.
We want to try to prevent anything from coming in. And then, we run some other systems in the background that we try not to disclose everything.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Feel like we've got as layered a system as we can have.
Sure.
They talk about layering like Swiss cheese so that the holes don't line up. We feel like we're layering different systems to keep our schools safe and keep our kids safe.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, listen, in one of my counties, I had to stand up a police department as well, and it just wasn't easy, right? So we had to do, like you said, training, equipment, all the way from uniforms to badges to vehicles, whatever it may be. But I think you did the right thing, because when you look at this systemically, you took individuals that, not that we didn't care about the law enforcement, that were in and out, you were contracting with, but those that can be on your campus every single day to build that system of care across your communities, and communities know them, they care about them, They're not just there one day, gone the next. They're there every day that they can be there, and they're building that continued relationship, which I think is completely smart. It's not easy to stand up and build, but I commend you for doing it, because not many people have the courage to do it, but I think it's congrats to you on that.
Well, it's like I said, I've had support of our board, community, and we've worked together, you know, and if you think about it, schools have been under attack.
That's right.
Throughout history. I mean, think about popular culture. Look at, you know, one of the first albums my mom had visited her cousins in Florida, and she came back in 1979 or 81 with Pink Floyd, you know, another brick in the wall. We don't need no education.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like they were attacked through song. You think about the movies. There's always been movies, rock and roll high school at the end of it. They blew up high school, you know, I mean, so
it's all
schools
there.
Have been under attack, but what's happened is it's manifest itself with obviously a lot of things that are going on in our world, and mental health is one of them. And now we're seeing these true attacks on schools with people who are out to really hurt people and kill people. And so
it's unfortunate.
Number one responsibility has to keep our staff safe and keep our students safe, number one, and just make sure we have as safe a schools as we can have, because the unknown's out there. You know,
it is.
We can't control some of that, but we can try to do the best we can do to have safe schools.
Absolutely, Doc. And I commend you not only for, you know, standing up your police department, but also for using, leveraging Gaggle. Gaggle is probably the best when it looks at student accounts to be able to identify undesired behavior, and then other mechanisms you put in place to create, you know, systems and processes to help children, give them hope every single day, give them confidence every single day in that process. But not only are you focused on safety, but you've accelerated a lot of stuff. You've made a lot of gain academically.
Like I said, we've been blessed. We moved to the academy model with our high school
a
few years ago.
Love it.
We went up and visited Nashville, Tennessee, and so we worked.
Adrian Battle does a great job up there.
Yeah, we worked with Ford Next Generation to develop our plan, and so we came back, and our goal was to have a stronger academy system than they have in Nashville.
Yeah.
Nashville's kind of like,
Adrian, if you're watching this, I'm letting you know Doc is coming after you.
So we're in about year five of our academies at Coffee High, and we have a career academy at our technical college. And so it's been a good experience, and really rewarding to see our young people flourishing and just doing great as they leave high school. And, you know, that's what we want. Our young people prepared for college, career, and life.
That's right. You said it well. Post-secondary education, military, the workforce, whatever it may be, we stand there ready. Well,
that's right.
For those who are watching, any words of wisdom that you would give individuals aspiring to become a superintendent?
Yeah, I would say just follow your instincts on what you feel like your strong points are. Certainly read, go to the literature. Reading is so important. I would say get your hands on the best leadership books you can get, whether they be corporate leadership, whether it be educational leadership, whether it be coaching. But read about good leaders.
Yes,
and I would say stay in the literature, do right, keep working hard, good things will happen.
That's right. Well, Doc, thank you so very much for being here today. Really appreciate it. Thank you for your commitment to children. Fun. I hope you have a cool opportunity here today. There's thousands and thousands of educators here to do it. Until next time, you see it here with Dr. Morris Lease, doing great things in coffee, located in Georgia. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you on In Depth with Davis, Superintendents Unplugged.